The tension was almost too much to bear for fans of all four clubs in Group D as it came to a dramatic conclusion on match day six. In the end, it was delight for Tottenham and Frankfurt, despair for Sporting and Marseille. A classic finish to a remarkable section. Elsewhere on Tuesday, Club Brugge sealed top spot in Group B. Napoli lost to Liverpool, but they finished first in Group A. We will sum it all up over the next 30 minutes. Amazing scenes in Marseille and in Lisbon. The Tottenham players went through every emotion, but are now celebrating on the pitch with their travelling supporters. The Marseille players can barely look apart from down to the floor. They led, but in the end they were beaten and they head out. Meanwhile, it is the same emotions in Lisbon. Frankfurt with their travelling supporters celebrating another wild European away day as they go through Sporting head out. Welcome along, I'm Chris Parrott. And match day six really has kicked off in style. Group D looked like it was going to be the place to be this week, and it did not disappoint. I am joined by the former Tottenham captain, Jenna Scalacci, who's just about recovered. You weren't playing tonight, but you went through everything, and fans of all four teams, as I mentioned in Group D, had every emotion. At one stage, everybody was heading through, everybody was heading out, almost everybody was topping the section, and it all comes down to Spurs and Frankfurt in the end going through to the last 16.
Thankfully. I mean, it was an absolute roller coaster of a 90 minutes. There were stages where I couldn't watch, but then I obviously had to watch. It was painful, but, you know, they've got the job done. They've left it late again, and I think it was a game of two halves for Tottenham. Marseille with far better team in the first half, and rightly so, went in 1-0 up. But I think Tottenham looked like a different team in the second half. Why they didn't start like that, I don't know, but they got the job done and they're through.
We'll let you have your delight as the former Tottenham Hotspur captain. All of the scores then, before we really dig into things. In Group A, Liverpool 2, Napoli 0, and Rangers 1, Ajax 3. In Group B, the early kickoffs, Porto 2, Atletico 1, Leverkusen 0, Club Brugge 0. Group C, Bayern 2, Inter 0, Polzenia 2, Barcelona 4. And in Group D, Sporting 1, Eintracht Frankfurt 2, Marseille 1, Tottenham 2. Those two results in Group D really do only tell half of the story. All four clubs ahead of match day six stood a chance of progressing to the round of 16. Jenna and Mark Scott watched Marseille against Tottenham, while in Portugal, Sporting took on Frankfurt, and Joe Shannon was your commentator for that.
Ugarte's cross, Artur Gomes has squeezed it over the line, and Sporting lead, and on a night they only need to draw, it is the Portuguese side who are in front, Sporting 1, Frankfurt 0, and this stadium is bouncing.
They've taken the corner short, and they could be caught out here, oh it's in, Chancellor Bemba with the header, Marseille in front, Spurs switched off.
Bemba's risen high. And it's a fantastic header into the bottom corner.
Perisic's ball in is great. 1-1. Super header. Clement Longley levels it up for Spurs. And that has got them back on course for the last 16.
Frankfurt with a chance to draw themselves level. Kamada will step up here. Right-footed. It's a short run-up. Right-footed into the corner. Sporting 1. Frankfurt 1. Game on. A chance in the penalty area here for Colomwani. He's done it. Frankfurt lead in Lisbon, and they are heading through to the knockout stages of the Champions League. Sporting 1, Frankfurt 2.
Højbjerg with a chance to wrap it up once and for all. It's Højbjerg, it's in. Spurs have won it and won the group in the process. What a finish to the game in the south of France. They've turned it around. Højbjerg's hit, Spurs win. Spurs top the group.
That was the last kick of the game, the last kick of the group, which was in the balance, quite literally, until right at the end. It finishes like this then. Tottenham top on 11 points, Frankfurt second on 10, Sporting third into the Europa League on 7, and Marseille on 6. Jenna, I tried to keep a note of everything that went on, and we heard commentary there from Mark and Joe, and I'll bring you guys in as well. At kickoff, it was Sporting and Tottenham going through. At half-time, it was Sporting and Marseille going through. Tottenham were third, Frankfurt were fourth, and both those two teams ended up going through. In the 50th minute, it was Sporting and Spurs going through. In the 72nd minute, it was Frankfurt and Spurs going through. And in the 90th minute, Spurs topped the group. I mean, I will say you couldn't have written the drama, but actually, Mark, going into match day six, we kind of thought it was going to be as topsy and turvy as it turned out.
Yeah, I think you called it before the games. You said at some stage all four teams would be heading through, and so it proved. All of them had their moments where they thought they were going to be taking their place in the last 16 in the new year. I think overall you have to give a lot of credit for Tottenham because they didn't have Antonio Conte with them today. He wasn't able to communicate with them once they arrived at the stadium, and they really needed to sort themselves out because the first half, they were awful. Marseille were all over them. Spurs didn't have a single touch inside the Marseille penalty area. And the home side were good value for their lead, which was given to them, as we heard from that header by Chancellor Mbemba. But it was a different match, as Jenna was saying, in the second half. Spurs found their groove. Marseille retreated. They weren't as aggressive. They were a bit too passive. And they paid the price. And even though Sead Kolasinac, the former Arsenal man, had a chance to make it 2-1 to Marseille late on, I think that would have been harsh. And I think Spurs deserved the win.
And had that gone in, Marseille would have gone through. And here they are finishing fourth. They don't even have European football at all.
Brilliant climax.
In the new year. And Joe, did it rather sum it up that Tottenham came from behind to win away from home, and Frankfurt did the same in terms of the craziness of this section? I can see Kevin Trapp being interviewed as we speak in front of the jubilant Frankfurt fans. In the end, did the best team over the 90 minutes win there as well?
I think so, and topsy-turvy doesn't really even describe it, does it, Chris? Because at half-time, Frankfurt were heading out of Europe altogether. They were going to finish bottom of the group. Artur Gomez had put Sporting in front, squeezing the ball under Kevin Trapp with what was really Sporting's only chance of the first period. And actually, throughout the 90 minutes, they were tentative going forward. But great determination and drive from Frankfurt in the second half. They really resurrected their hopes. And I think the half-time substitution, bringing on Sebastian Roda, the captain, made a big difference. They started the second half on the front foot. They got that penalty on the hour mark. Kamada scored it after a handball by Sebastian Coates. Of course, at that stage, it still wasn't enough. Sporting was still going to go through. Frankfurt knew they still needed a winner. And with 18 minutes to go, well, what a finish it was from Randall Kolo Muani. It was a tight angle, but he managed to thunder the ball beyond the goalkeeper on the half volley instinctively. And then from there on, Frankfurt knew they were going through. Sporting laboured in response. The goalkeeper, Adan, went up for a couple of corners in stoppage time, but they couldn't find an equaliser. And the contrast in the mood of the supporters at half-time and full-time, just extraordinary. Boos and whistles from the Sporting fans with their team out, but the Frankfurt players celebrating wildly with their fans. And it's a great story, isn't it, Chris? It's their first ever UEFA Champions League group stage, and they march on into the knockouts.
Yeah, and this for a club whose last game in the European Cup, this competition, was the final in 1960. And, of course, they won the Europa League in such thrilling fashion last year. And a lot of that was based on great European away days, Joe. And they've had another to beat a team in Sporting who, after two matches, remember, had 6 points.
And they
end up finishing with only 7 from 6 games. I mean, no one could have predicted that.
Well, they took a hammering in Marseille, didn't they? And they've had a couple of three costly red cards over the course of the group stages. And you have to wonder how much that has hurt Sporting. They've started to leak goals all of a sudden. They were in control at half-time, but I did feel, Chris, that Frankfurt had played nowhere near their potential. They were a bit standoffish. They were a bit reluctant to press. Oliver Glasner clearly had words at half-time. As I say, the half-time substitution of Roda for Lindström, who'd been relatively ineffective and quite quiet. Looked like he took a knock towards the end of the first half. So you bring on your club captain to give some dynamism, some physicality, and that leadership quality that he showed. And they were a different side. And in the end, they completely deserved the win.
great scenes at full time, and they weren't really hanging on by the looks of things. And we heard your commentary, Joe. I've just seen a replay of Randall Colomuano's winner. I mean, he gets that into the side next. It almost clips the inside of the post. You really cannot save shots like that from one of Frankfurt's signings in the summer. And he's just written himself into club folklore, really, with that finish. Plenty more from Joe shortly. Let's head to back to Mark and Jenna, because in a way, these match mirrored each other, Jenna. And we heard how whatever Olivier Glasner said at the break clearly worked. Of course, Antonio Conte was in the stands, so he couldn't say anything to his Tottenham players. But whatever was said in the dressing room for Spurs seemed to spark them into life as well.
Well, yeah, obviously they've gone in 1-0 down, so the game plan had to change. They needed a win or a point, so they had to change something. And exactly that, I think, obviously they had to make a decision early on with losing Son so early on, who was probably key in their... the style that they wanted to set out, obviously sitting back and using the pace on the counter. So yeah, I think whatever was said at halftime, I think the players themselves, they knew they had to, you know, they're the players on the pitch, they had to turn it around. And it was like a different team coming out. The energy created more in the first 10 minutes of the second half than they did of the whole of the first half. So yeah, whatever was said definitely worked.
What did you think about the impact Emerson Royal had when he came on? Because that was a half-time change. Sessegnon went off. I would say some Spurs supporters might have been a bit perplexed by that change, but he had a pretty solid second half. And actually, out of all the players that were operating in that sort of wing-back position, he was the one across the whole of the game that I noticed the most.
Yeah, I think, you know, Sessegnon, he had a bit of a troubled time in the first half. He looked uncomfortable. He'd made a few mistakes early on, and maybe that had got into his head. He just never looked comfortable on the ball, and we only saw him really in the final third one time in the whole of the first half. I think with Royal, he does get a lot of stick, but today I thought he looked very calm, a calm head out there, and we saw him in the final third a lot of the time. The minute he was on, he was attacking, he was pressing, and he was delivering balls into the box, which they were starved of in the first half.
Spurs' official account has tweeted this, only Tottenham, which I think every Spurs fan who listens to this will agree in terms of, or Jenna, you sum that up as a you know, someone who captained the club, because we saw that in the second half. I mean, we're just seeing on our monitor all the replays of the chances that Tottenham had actually to before Højbjerg's late second, three or four golden chances to perhaps put it to bed.
Yeah, I mean, they created a lot of chances, and there are stages throughout the game you thought, oh, this isn't going to be their night, it's happening again. But what they have done of late, they've managed to turn games around very, very late on, which as a fan you can imagine is an absolute nightmare to be watching. But that's a positive. I guess they do have the talent. They have that belief that even in the 90th minute, 92nd minute, they can pull out a result or, you know, go on and score and change the game, which we've seen. It's just... I just wish they'd start the way they finish matches.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just intrigued to know what went on in the dressing room at halftime, because with no Antonio Conte, I mean, if we'd seen that performance and we knew that Conte had been there in the dressing room, we would have said he's worked miracles at the break, because it was a different Spurs side that we saw in the second half. They changed things. The whole complexion of the game was altered, but he wasn't there. So I'm desperate to know what went on.
I think, you know, that the coaching staff at Tottenham, Conte's brought the coaching staff in with him, and they all share that passion. You see it on the side every weekend. They all have this Italian passion, and you know, I don't think it needed Conte to be there. I think that it runs in their bloods, and the first half just wasn't good enough. For what was on the line, it had to be better. And I have no doubt that even just looking at Hugo Lloris, he's a leader, he's the captain, he must have got into his team as well, because it wasn't a great first half at all, given how important that match was.
And if you look on the flip side, it's a case of what might have been for Igor Tudor, because, you know, there looked like there was only going to be one winner based on the first half. Marseille were aggressive, they were in Spurs' faces, they were positive, they could have scored more than the one goal that they had at halftime. And then for whatever reason, they decided to be passive and sit off, and they lost their way, and they invited Spurs onto them. And I think that they will view that as a real missed opportunity.
It's interesting, because in commentary,
you both said when the goal went in from Chancellor Mbemba, fantastic header. Remember, Marseille were chasing a place in the round of 16 for the first time since 2011. You both said this is going to be interesting to see now if they do sit back. And even right at the end of the first half, there was about 2 minutes left, they did that, Jenna, and Spurs had a chance. And then that carried on almost until Tottenham equalised. Then they came out again and caused problems. So both teams, if you like, had moments where they sat back and looked vulnerable, but in the end it was Tottenham that got over the line.
Yeah, I mean, it's always like almost like a game of chess, isn't it? You're like, do you twist, do you stick? I thought they might have just kicked on because they were on top for so long, but Tottenham allowed them to be on top. You know, they didn't press, they didn't put any pressure on the ball when Marseille did have it. They invited them in, which changed the game in the second half, because they went out and Tottenham were then aggressive and asking questions of the Marseille defensive line.
So Tottenham are into the draw for the last 16, which is on Monday. Spurs fans will need to sit down after that, so will Marseille. Joe, will Frankfurt fear anybody? We've already mentioned how they won the Europa League last season, knocked out Barcelona. Now they get their chance to be amongst the elite in the Champions League. And my word, that is going to be something to look forward to in February.
Well, I don't think they'll fear anyone in terms of the resilience that they can show and provide and what they showed in the second half tonight. It's interesting listening to the guys talking about the Marseille-Tottenham game and how it looked as though the result was only going one way. And I think exactly the same here in Lisbon. Frankfurt were passive, they were off the pace, they hadn't really created anything in the game. In fact, in the first half, their best chance was from a header from Paulinho, which very nearly went into his own net. So it wasn't as though Frankfurt were creating, banging on the door, but they managed to recover themselves and rediscover what they can really do in the second period. And you have to hand it to them, because remember, they started the group stages with a thumping defeat at home to Sporting. Worst possible start on their own turf. First game that was for them ever in the UEFA Champions League group stages. So they knew they had to show their powers of recovery and resilience, and they've certainly shown that tonight. And I think there is something special, Chris, in terms of motivation when you are in a situation where at half-time in the final match of the group stages, not only are you going out of the Champions League, but you're going out of Europe as well. To recover from that and end up going through, I think that momentum could carry them potentially a fair way in the knockout stages.
The atmosphere in Frankfurt for their home leg of the round of 16 is going to be something else. So, same question, just to finish off this, I mean, crazy section, and one of the most thrilling I can remember actually in recent history in terms of the Champions League, to you, Jenna, and to you, Mark. Tottenham now going into the last 16, and it may be a, you know, who knows, it's a long way off, it's after the World Cup, of course, but how are they going to approach things? Will they sit back, do you think, like they have done in the group stage?
One thing to point out is, in amongst all the excitement of that late winner, Højbjerg is out of the first leg of the round of 16 tie because he picked up a yellow card late on in the game. So their match winner won't be available, and he's become a key player. Well, I thought Bentancur was very impressive today in that midfield engine room as well.
Both the two players, Højbjerg and Bentancur, have been real key players for Tottenham over the last month or so. They've really grown and they formed a really nice partnership in there, and they are the engine of the team. They've got that passion and they are game changers. So it's going to be a big loss having Højbjerg not in the next round, but I mean, I'm really praying they don't sit back. Can't do that again.
There's so much unknown because it's so long until the knockout rounds.
Yeah.
We've got the World Cup and we've also got the January transfer window. So all these teams could be a completely different beast when we come to play those last 16 ties.
You just have to be in the round of 16, right, and then see where you are in February. Congratulations to Tottenham and to Frankfurt. Last word then on Group D. We will give it to Clément Longley, who got a massive goal for Tottenham in Marseille.
Didn't play well during the first half. We didn't know what happened, if we have to attack, if we have to defend. And maybe it wasn't good for us to play this type of first half. But after the first half, we speak in the locker room. We tell what we have to tell. I don't know if it's good English, but and we start the second half with a lot of power, much more personality, much more aggressivity to go to score, and we play a very, very good second half.
Clement Longley there for Tottenham, who are into the last 16. None of the other sections were quite as nail-biting as Group D, but Group B was pretty good. These were the early games on Tuesday. Porto took on Atletico in one of them, and here is what happened with your commentators Alvaro Romeo and Dan Roebuck.
Ivan Nilsson will get the shot away and tapped in from close range by you-know-who, Taremi, right place, right time, inside the opening 5 minutes. Porto have the advantage, it was a simple finish.
Taremi wasn't properly marked, and this is the first goal for Porto, and a lot of pressure for Bruce, by the way, and of course, pressure for Atletico de Madrid.
Galeno gets away from Savic, still has possession, rolls it towards the penalty spot, big chance taken here, and Porto have another.
Statue just appear pretty much out of nowhere just to score this goal that makes the evening for Atletico de Madrid even more difficult.
Carrasco curls in and it goes in. Atleti have got a goal and we've got around about 45 seconds remaining.
Well, here is what Dan and Alvaro made of the game.
Porto came into this game really a free hit against Atletico Madrid. Remember, they'd already qualified for the last 16 of the Champions League. They could have rotated more, they could have rested players. As it was, they went for Atleti from the get-go, scored a wonderful goal early on through Taremi, who's had a terrific UEFA Champions League season so far, and then scored again through Eustaquio. Atleti just couldn't respond. It was an untypical performance from Diego Simeone's side, considering that they needed to fight and battle and scrap for their European lives this season, and it just did not happen. Yes, they pulled a goal back very, very late on, but make no mistake, Porto thoroughly deserved this 2-1 success.
Absolutely. What a recovery from Porto anyway. They started losing the first two games in the group stage, and then they got four wins, three clean sheets as well. They've been phenomenal, really. Taremi has been the focal point up front, scoring the goals, but it has been a collective effort. And today I would like to single out Pepe Aquino, the right back, who is a forward, but he has managed to keep his channel shut. That was an incredible performance by him. And when it comes to Atletico, well, I think they deserve to be fourth in this group stage. They have conceded too many goals in this Champions League, and you cannot actually qualify for the next round if you concede so many goals. Today the wingbacks haven't made the difference, neither the strikers. And when it comes to the critical moments, the second half, nobody put the ball in the box, at least to try to get a penalty or a handball by the opponent. You know, things that you have to try when you are actually catching up with a result or trying to win a game desperately. So this is probably the lowest point in Atletico de Madrid's or in Simeone's time at Atletico de Madrid, and they have to recover now, focus on La Liga and focus on the next to come. But yes, I think that Porto deserves to win this game and probably deserves to go first in the group stage of the Champions League.
Porto have gone under the radar when it comes to Portuguese teams this season. Benfica have been brilliant, Sporting special at times, but Porto have proved that they are a worthy side to make it through to the last 16 of the Champions League. An excellent win against an out-of-sorts Atletico Madrid side.
It certainly was. We can hear from one of their heroes now, Stephen Eustaquio, who gave his reaction on learning that they went through as group winners.
I didn't even know we were top of the group. We're very happy because everybody knows that in the first two games we lost. Everybody thought that we weren't going to pass the group, but here we are with Porto, and I think we did a very good job finishing first, winning all four games that were left, and we're very happy. Obviously, it's better to finish first than second, so with a lot of motivation, we'll look towards the future.
Yeah, so Porto winning the section there because it finished Leverkusen 0, Club Brugge 0, which was enough for Leverkusen to move above Atletico on the head-to-head and therefore go through to the Europa League. So no European football at all for Atletico. A game full of chances. No one could take them, though. Club Brugge did hit the bar, and Hans van Aken was proud of his team's overall group stage performance despite the fact they didn't finish top of the group.
Well, I think we have to be satisfied. I think before when the draw came out, and people would said like we go through with this group and Atletico would go out of Champions League. I think no one expected this, so I think we have to be very proud of our performances this season.
Yeah, Club Brugge, remember, through with two matches to spare but end up finishing second. So that was Group B. Group A, Liverpool 2, Napoli 0. Not enough for Liverpool to overtake Napoli. It is still the Italian side who win the section. Liverpool second. Both were through ahead of match day six. But after 13 straight wins, Napoli are finally beaten. 13 straight wins in all competitions. They thought they had taken the lead when Leo Ostergaard headed home. He was marginally offside. The semi-automated offside system showed that he was. And Liverpool got two very late goals. The first was a finish from Mo Salah in the 85th minute. And then Darwin Nunez in the 98th minute made it 2-0. And Salah was pleased with a win against, in his eyes, one of the standout sides of the group stage.
I have one of the best team in the world at the moment. I have one of the best coach in the world as well. So we're glad to get the result here. As you can see, the game in the first half was a little bit tough, but we managed to win in the end. Let's just take that win and give us more confidence and just try to carry on.
Yeah, good win that for Liverpool, who have had a bit of a tough time of it, certainly domestically. The other match in the section finished in a win for Ajax, so six defeats out of six for Rangers on their return to the Champions League. Ajax winning 3-1 to absolutely rubber stamp a place in the Europa League. And again, it was a night for Mohamed Kudus, who really has been terrific in the group stage. They took the lead through Steven Berghaus. Kudus made it two. Tavernier got one back from the penalty spot late on for Rangers, but Francisco Conceição promptly went down the other end and scored to make it 3-1. So that is Group A done and dusted. And in Group C, which was all finished before match day six, we knew Bayern were through as group winners. We knew Inter were second. We knew Barcelona were third. And we knew Plzeňa were fourth. Well, Bayern beat Inter by 2-0. Another perfect group stage for Bayern. Six wins out of six. And here is their coach, Julian Nagelsmann.
Yeah, it's a perfect round. It's not that easy in this group stage, but we did it brilliant in nearly every game. Also today, we conceded two chances in the first half and one in the second half. But at the end, we defend well. We create enough chances to score goals. We had an important set piece in the first half. And in the second half, we had a good control overall the second half. So at the end, I'm very happy with the performance.
18 goals for Bayern in six games. They conceded just two. Fair to say nobody will want to draw Bayern in Monday's draw for the round of 16. It finished 4-2 to Barcelona away at Plzeňa. Very entertaining game. A couple of goals for Tomáš Hory for Plzeňa. Ferran Torres got a brace for Barcelona. They were out, remember, before match day six, but they at least sign off in style. OK, the final word then, and we are going to head back to Group D, which was the section to follow, and it, as I mentioned before, it really didn't disappoint. Mark, how do you... This is an impossible question. You've only got about 30 seconds to answer it. But how do you sum up the whole group? It was crazy.
It was topsy-turvy. I think at the end of the day, maybe experience came to the fore. Tottenham Hotspur, a vastly experienced UEFA Champions League manager and players as well, and maybe that got them over the line in the end. And Frankfurt, well, perhaps it's the lack of experience and the bravery that they showed that has seen them get through.
Yeah, and I think moments of class for Tottenham throughout this group stage has seen them finish top and, yeah, on to the last 16.
Seesaw group, resilience from both Tottenham and Frankfurt. Never write a team off, especially in the Champions League.
Spot on, Joe Shannon. The final word then on Group D. And my word, match day six has started very, very entertainingly indeed. So the round of 16 really is starting to take shape now. Remember to join us every Champions League match night for live commentary. On Wednesday, we've got the whole game of Shakhtar against Leipzig live. That is essentially a straight shootout for another spot in the round of 16. We've also got Milan Salzburg, which is also a winner takes all, and extended updates from Juventus against Paris Saint-Germain. Remember to download our podcast shortly after every match night via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Match Day Live team, it is a goodbye after a Champions League Tuesday that Tottenham and Frankfurt won't forget.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.